Today's message is called Fear Has Been Conquered. And it doesn't matter whether it was fear or anxiety. It's the same thing, or worry, because there were variations of those three, but it's all fear. I want to read a verse to you first. It's from 2 Timothy and chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind." God has not given you a spirit of fear. In other words, you shouldn't be having that fear or that worry. It should be released from you. He wants you to have power, love, and a sound mind. That's what you're supposed to have in your life. That's what you should be feeling. That spirit of fear is not yours. Now remember, I talked about last week that Jesus, who's walking on the earth in order to take all this stuff upon himself, he took that fear upon himself. He took your fear from you, meaning it no longer belongs to you. He paid for it. And that means we can give it to him because it's not ours. If you have something that's not yours that someone else paid for and it belongs to them, what's that called? Stealing. It's called stealing. I don't know why you'd want to steal fear. You know, if it belongs to him, give it to him. Any worry, any fear, any anxiety, give it to him. It belongs to him. He already took it upon himself 2,000 years ago. That was the plan of God. Why did God do that? Because God's plan from the very beginning, as it says in this verse, he has not given you a spirit of fear. In other words, he never gave you that, and he didn't want it to be on your life. He doesn't want worry to be in your life. He doesn't want anxiety to be in your life. He didn't give you that. He didn't give you that fear. So when he came down and walked on the earth as a man, God took it away from you. Now it's just a matter of you coming to the realization, it's not mine. It's not mine. Take it away. Thank you, God. I release that. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's a good thing. To know that the fear, the worry, and the anxiety is not yours. Say, it's not mine.
It's not mine.
It's not mine. If it's not yours, don't take possession of it. You don't have to possess it if it's not yours. Let it go. Let it go. You don't need it. Now, fears, anxieties, being afraid, worry, all these things, what they do is they rob us of the joy and the freedom that God has given us. God wants us to be experiencing in our lives love and joy and freedom. And when we have that, we can accomplish anything. We can do anything when we have that joy and the freedom and the love that God has given us. And the fear and the anxiety and the worry is trying to steal that from you. Don't let it. Don't let it steal that from you. Because it's not yours, that fear. Let it go. Trying to rob you. Things look very bleak through the eyes of fear. They look so bleak when you're afraid, don't they? The whole world can seem like it's coming down, and you don't get to see the opportunities that God puts before you. When we're looking through the eyes of fear, which are not your eyes, by the way, then you don't see the opportunities and the possibilities that God has given you. Get rid of that fear. Fear has already been conquered. It has no power over you. Worry and anxiety have no power over you. Give it to God, and he'll release you from it. It's easy to get fixated on fear because we are looking down, and the more we focus on fear, what happens? It begins to grow, and it grows. We have that saying, making a mountain out of a molehill. The more you focus on the problem, the bigger that it becomes. The bigger it becomes, the more you focus on it. But it started out to be very small. So my point is, don't be fixated on the fear. You need to change your focus and look somewhere else. Where should we look? Where should we look? The answer is God. The answer is God. When we focus on God, our fear shrinks and our God grows. We have a big God. We have a powerful God. We have a God that says all things are possible. And we have a God who has proclaimed over you that you can do all things in Jesus' name. You've been given the power and the ability to do all things. When we focus on God, we now begin to see Him the way that He is because He grows. We start to see our God the way He is supposed to be, which is big, which is powerful, which is having the ability to do all things. Do not fixate on the fear. Focus on God so that He can grow in your life. Give the fear to God. Give it to Him. It's not yours. The more you fixate on fear, it becomes that mountain. Don't look at it. Listen to what Jesus says about worry. This is interesting. Let me say this. This is interesting too. The options of what to worry about are numerous. There are plenty of people that will tell you what to worry about, right? Your friends, your coworkers, the person on the street. Everybody wants to tell you what to worry about. The options are unlimited what you can worry about. Man, we can worry about so many things. But our choice for strength and peace is but one thing. God. That's the source of our strength and our peace. So we've got numerous possibilities and options for worry and anxiety. We've got one solution. The solution that when we receive that answer and begin to focus on that will change everything. You've heard many testimonials today about all the things that were changed in people's lives. It was done through one thing, focusing on what God could do. We're never enough in ourselves to be able to achieve great things. But when we focus on God, then God begins to work through us so that you and God can do amazing things far beyond what you thought was possible. Make your God a big God. Fear has been conquered. I was moved in heart when I saw how many people were wanting to let go of fears and worries and anxieties. And this is the words that came to me. Fear has been conquered. That means we shouldn't be focused on that. Don't let it take root in your life. Kick it to the curb. Give it to God so that you can be free and begin to feel the joy and the love that God has for you. That you can go on the adventure that God has planned for you. There are opportunities and possibilities which you can't even imagine that God has prepared for you. And it all happens when we begin to embrace the love and the joy that God has poured out for us. You're free. You're free. See, last week when we were talking about Easter, that's what Easter's all about. It's about God's plan to free us from everything that tries to limit us or stop us from becoming great. God created you great. He created you amazing. He wants you to do something incredible, and He's put it on the inside of you. Now you've got to get the revelation of the truth that you are great and begin to speak those words that you are great. Let me hear. Here's what Jesus said about worry. Jesus thought it was important enough to actually give a message about worry. Must have been a lot of people back then worrying too. Look what He says. In Matthew 6, chapter 6, and verse 25, He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life." I could stop right there. That's a pretty good statement right there. Don't worry about your life, right? You don't have to. He goes on, though. "Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" This is Jesus speaking. "Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need, he knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. He says, don't worry. He says, God knows what you need. You hear me talk about this all the time, how not only did God know what you need, he also provided it for you. And when did he provide it? He provided it at the foundation of the world, meaning when he created everything, he already knew you were going to be here, right here at this moment, and he knew what you were going to need, and he already put it in place. And that's why we're listening for the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is leading us right to where God has laid up everything that I need right now at this moment so that I can live the way that God planned me for to live, which is blessed and highly favored, which is being able to go above and beyond and fulfill all the dreams, that there's nothing that can stop me because God had already a plan from the very beginning. Jesus says, don't worry. You don't have to worry. Now, if Jesus says, don't worry, I would believe him. You may not believe me, but you can believe what he said. You know, he had a pretty good track record about what he said. So if you don't believe me, believe what he said. Don't worry. It means don't have anxiety. Don't have fear. Why does he say not to worry? Because he knows he's come for a very specific purpose, to take that worry from you. And he says that, did worrying, does it change one thing in your life, worrying? Has it ever changed one thing? Has anxiety ever changed one thing? Has being afraid ever changed one thing other than stopping you from doing what you want to do? It doesn't change. Worry doesn't change anything. That's what he's getting at. Don't worry. What we want to do is we want to build faith. We want to build faith. Build our faith in God. Build our faith in the plan of God. This is why I love sharing testimonies of what God is doing. Because when you hear God doing something great in someone else's life, you can be assured that if God knows my needs, he's going to know what I need today. You don't have to worry about it. You just have to open your ears and begin to focus on that God that's going to get bigger and bigger. The more you focus on the great things that God is doing, they will become more and more plentiful. God will keep growing. Your faith will keep growing inside of you. Strength will grow inside of you as that faith builds. As we receive the words of life, which are the words that God spoke, we receive those words, strength gets built inside of us. And now we know that what God said is true. Remember what I said at the beginning. Your job is to believe that God will do his job. God's got a track record of doing his job perfect every single day, forever. If you can't believe in that, that he's going to do his job, suddenly tomorrow he's going to say, I'm going on strike, I'm not getting paid enough. He's not going to say that. Suddenly you're going to think, oh, maybe God doesn't know what he's doing. Really? He's been doing it right for a very long time. And I know he's going to continue to do it right. We just got to believe him. Our job is to believe he's going to do his job. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's exciting. That's exciting. Because I know that God will always do his job right. And that's what building faith is about. It's about getting to the point where you believe that God will always do his job right. And when you start to believe that God will always do his job right, and he will always do everything he said, and he will always do everything he promised, there will be no fear. But there will be faith. And that faith will be powerful faith The kind of faith that moves mountains. The kind of faith that changes everything. Let me go down to moving mountains. Because Jesus had something to say about moving mountains too. It said here in Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." Hey, that sounds familiar. Oh, I just said that. That's right. Well, he said it too. Again, if you don't believe me, you can believe him. "Have faith in God," he says. This is Jesus. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Jesus says that if you believe whatever you're praying for, if you believe that, then you will have them. I keep telling you, when we pray at Golden Heart, things happen. Because when we pray at Golden Heart, we are believing God is going to do his job. And we already know he's going to do his job. And he always does. That's why things happen at Golden Heart. Because Jesus said, if you believe when you pray, you'll receive those things you pray for. It's that simple. Now, he's talking about moving a mountain. And he's saying that if you believe in God, you can say to this mountain. Now, that mountain could be many things. Because I don't know how many of you suddenly decide, hey, let's move this mountain over here, over there. That would be really cool. I think he's talking about the things we come up against that seem very immovable in our lives. Might be that anxiety or that worry. That fear that you're not going to have enough money. Or that fear of lack. Maybe that's what your mountain is. But Jesus said, if you believe in God, you can say to that mountain, be cast into the sea. Now, it's interesting. A couple of months ago, I was working with two different clients who don't know each other, and neither one of them reads the Bible. They believe in God, but they don't go to church or read in the Bible. Now, I was having them have a conversation with God. So they were talking to God. I was helping them have this conversation. And God said to them something very interesting, because they were also working with fear. There was a particular fear that they had become aware of. And God told them, cast it into the sea. Now, they didn't know that phrase, but when I heard them say that phrase, I went, oh my goodness, that's exactly what Jesus said. You want to get rid of something in your life that's been plaguing you, I think there's a recipe right here of what Jesus has laid out. If there's something in your life that's been plaguing you, you can say, I believe. And you can say, I cast you into the sea. And it will be gone and released. If you have fear or worry or anxiety right now, you can be saying, I cast you into the sea. Let me read what he said again. Whoever says to this mountain, your mountain could be debt, your mountain could be fear, your mountain could be sickness, whatever your mountain is, and you can say, be removed and be cast into the sea. It will be done. God has given us authority. God has given you authority. You have authority. He's not given you a spirit of fear. He has given you love, power, and a sound mind. A sound mind. Peaceful. Peaceful, relaxed mind. That's what you've been given. And you have the authority to take that love, that power, and that peacefulness upon yourself. Into your heart. When we invite Jesus to come into our heart, God gives us the authority. Because remember, Jesus conquered all things, including fears and worries and anxieties. He took that upon himself, and he not only just didn't bear it, he conquered it, he beat it. He battled it, and he won against it. Meaning he now had authority over it. And then when we say we believe what God did in the form of Jesus, I believe that. Now we receive the gift of authority into our hearts, we now have the power over fear and worry and anxiety. We have the power because we believe. And we will now receive the Spirit of God on the inside, which is the Spirit of love. That's the Spirit of God. God is love. It's the Spirit of love that has power over all things. You have authority right now. When you speak the words of faith, and you've got to believe. If you don't believe, it don't work. But if you do believe and you speak the words of faith, that authority now goes to work. And that fear is cast out of you into the sea and has power no more. Fear has been conquered. You are free of fear. There is nothing it can do about it. Love, joy, and peace is what God has given you. He has given you power, love, and a sound mind. That's who you are. That's what you have in your life. That's what you have the authority to thrive in. Remember, Jesus came to bring us liberty. Liberty to free us. To free us from everything plaguing us. You are freed from it now. You've been liberated. You are free now to live the great life, to pursue your dreams and conquer all the difficulties in life. God wants you to have it. Now, you might want to write this down. These are a few points that I wanted to just kind of go down. Things to remember. Things to remember. You might want to write the very above that. Fear is already conquered. It's already been conquered. Even if it hasn't been cast out of your life yet, it's already been conquered. So it has no power over you. Number one, first thing to remember, number one, do not tolerate fear. Do not tolerate fear. Some people seem to just let it be all around them, lingering around them. What I mean by not tolerating it, I mean do not listen to things that are filled with fear. People talking that are filled with fear, don't listen to that. Do not tolerate that. A spirit of fear, if you let it come in, if you listen to it, it's coming in your ears already. God has not given you a spirit of fear. Do not listen to people filled with fear. You don't need to hear that. Instead, you need to turn their attention around. Get them focused on something else. Get them focused on God. Start to speak the words of faith over them. Don't tolerate it. Too many people sit in an environment where they're listening to programs that are talking about fear. They're listening to people who are filled with fear. Or they're busy talking about all the things that they're afraid of, and they're now focused on it, and it's building up. Number one, do not tolerate it. Don't let it come into your house. Do not put up with it in your house. Say, I will not have that kind of talk in this house. And remember, did your father or mother ever say that? My father used to say, you will not talk like that in this house, he would say. You can do the same thing in your house. Put your foot down. You're not going to talk like that in this house. There will be no fear talk in this house. Take it outside, because I don't want to hear it. Don't tolerate it in your house. Don't tolerate it in your workplace. If your workplace is just a cubicle, don't let anybody else, coworkers, come and start to spread that spirit of fear in your cubicle. Say, I will not have that talk here. Take it down over there where the water cooler is or something, but I'm not going to listen to that. Don't tolerate it. You don't have to listen to it, and you don't have to hear it. Because when you start to partake in that, what happens? You're encouraging and you're focusing on the little molehill, and it starts to grow, and the spirit of fear starts to creep in again. Nope. You've cast it out. Leave it out. It stays outside the door. Remember, you have the authority. So it has no right coming into your door. Don't let it. Don't give it permission. Just say no. Do not tolerate it. Number two, remember who you are. Remember who you are. It says here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. This is Paul wrote, or sorry, this is John. John, the disciple of Jesus, wrote this. And I'm saying, remember who you are. You are children of God. If you are the children of God, then you're heirs of God. If you're heirs of God, what is God giving you? We already talked about what God is giving you. He's giving you love, power, and a sound mind. God is blessing you with favor and supernatural ability and authority. That's what God, if you're the children of God, that's what you've got. That's who you are. If you start to know who you are, all these other things cannot come upon you because you know who you are and you know what you deserve and you know where you're going. You've got to know who you are. Another verse that's talking about who we are, or that what we can do when we know who we are, this is in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's talking about who you are. You can do all things through Christ. Christ is Jesus. You can do all things. That means nothing can stop you. You've got to know who you are. You're a child of God. If you're a child of God, you can do all things. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You can do all things. Say all things.
All things.
I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Amen. That's who you are. Number three, watch what you say. Watch what you say. Some people don't know it, but what you say happens. This is how the kingdom of God works. It was the plan, the way he set it up. We can't change the system of God. That's how things are created and manifest in our lives. And what you say happens. I talked about it already. When God was creating, he showed us how the system of God works. And he said he wanted to create something. He said, light be. And then it was created. What you say happens. So you got to watch what you say, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. This tongue right here is very powerful. If I'm speaking fear, though, what am I going to get in my life? Because what I say happens. No. I want this tongue to be speaking the words of life, the words of faith. I want to be proclaiming who I am and where I'm going and how I'm going to get there and what I'm going to do when I get there. Amen. That's what I want this tongue to be saying. I want this tongue to be talking about the authority and the power that God has given me and the ability that I have, the purpose that he has put in me, the gifts and the talents. Because when you can let your tongue speak like that, there is no stopping you. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and what you say will happen. Amen. We've got to speak the words of life. You've got to say them in all ways. Number four, look toward the plan of God. Look toward the plan of God. And what I mean by that is, where's our focus? It's good to believe for new cars and parking spaces and two bananas. It's good to believe that stuff because our faith is building. But we need to know, what is the plan that God has for my life? What is my purpose? That's why this Soul Purpose Workshop is so important. So you can know, what is my purpose? What has God created me for? Because when you can see the big picture of where am I going? Where is God taking me? Now you stay focused on where you're going. Not looking back to what was yesterday or maybe what tripped you out before. No. You stay focused on where am I going and how am I going to get there? And you start to see, when you can see the plan of God now, it begins to grow and multiply and you're just moving forward. You start moving forward on a greater force. Remember the Israelites? Moses brought them out of Egypt. The first generation of Israelites, even though they were freed from bondage, from slavery, there was nothing holding them anymore. They were supposed to go to the promised land, a land of milk and honey, a land that was going to provide for them, a land that God had given them. That's the goal. That's where we're going. We're going to the promised land. What should they have been talking about all the time? The promised land. Where are we going? We're going to the promised land. What's going to happen when we get there? Man, we're going to have milk and honey. It's a land of milk and honey. What else are you going to get? You know, it's got, what's in the promised land? Oh, it's going to provide for all our needs in the promised land. Everything is there that we need at the promised land. Where should you be focusing if you're going to the promised land? You should be focused on the promised land. What are you going to be talking about? The promised land? What are you going to talk about in the morning? Hey, when do we get there? You know, the kids are going to be yelling, are we there yet? Right? Why? Because you're focused on where you're going. Yet the first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt, sometimes they were focused on the promised land, but what I notice is a lot of times they're focused on Egypt. Oh man, it's kind of hard going there. Maybe we should go back to Egypt. Things were so much better in Egypt. Man, we had food to eat back there. Are you nuts? You were slaves in Egypt. Have you forgot that? But they were focused as much on back there. Oh, Egypt. Remember Egypt? We had 3 square meals a day in Egypt. So where were they looking? They weren't focused on the plan of God and where they were going. They kept looking back. The first generation of people, the Israelites that left Egypt, never got to the promised land. That's what happens to people who are not focused on where they're going in the plan of God. The next generation, though, they made it to the promised land. Why? Because they got excited about it. They forgot about and stopped looking backward at the things that had held them up and the problems, and they started to focus on where's God taken us. They learned where's God taken us. That's why number 4 is look toward the plan of God. Look toward what is the plan of God? Where's God taken me? Start talking about your dreams. What is the dream you have in your heart? Start talking about it. Because that dream, when you've got that desire inside of your heart that just can't, you just can't quiet it. You got to talk about it. You know it's there. You may not understand why I've got this dream, but man, this is a dream I've got. You've got to know God has put that in your heart. Now it's time to begin to speak about it, talk about it, focus on it. Problem solve. How am I going to get there? I know I'm going there. I know that's where I'm going. Are we there yet? No, we're not. Okay, let's keep going. When are we going to get there? When you wake up in the morning, where are we going? We're going on God's plan. I'm going to that dream. That's where God's taking me. Thank you, God. You stay focused on the plan of God. You're not going to get distracted by little things. You're not going to look back. You're just going to keep moving forward. These are the things to remember to be free of fear. Because if you're busy focused, if you know who you are and you know where you're going, you don't got time to spend on this anxiety or this fear. You're going to cast that stuff off so quick and say, get out of here. I'm busy. I'm going over there where God's taking me. I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. Talk about your dreams. Talk about the plan of God. Talk about the testimonies of the good thing God is doing in your life, because that's going to energize you and strengthen you in all ways. Say amen to that.
Amen. Do, do, do.